off the ball.
GAA.
We could very easily just leave Sam Maguire with the Dubs now and it'll be safe and it won't be touched by anybody else. I think that's going to happen.
Off the ball.
GAA. Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the ball daily.
All right, welcome back to Thursday's Off the Ball. Delighted to be joined on the line by the now former Cork ladies football captain and all-star forward, Dearan O'Sullivan, who has just announced her retirement from the inter-county game, part of the Cork panel since back in 2012, retires as a five-time All-Ireland winner. Good to talk to you, Dearan.
Thank you. Jeez, that's a mad introduction, former Cork player. It still sounds strange.
Yeah, how's it sitting with you?
Do you know what? I thought I'd processed it, to be honest, because I'd made my decision maybe back around October. And then last week, the news kind of broke in, say, media circles. And yeah, kind of was a small bit overwhelming, getting messages from people I hadn't spoke to in years. And, you know, girls you played against and stuff, girls I went to secondary school with. So yeah, it's a small bit strange, to be honest.
Any messages that stand out?
I think the ones the girls you played against, because, you know, you're on the pitch and you're absolutely want to tear each other apart and hate them. And, you know, you've that mentality built up in your head that, you know, they're not nice people and you just want to get the win over them or whatever. And then there was girls from, say, Monaghan, a couple of the Dublin girls, a couple of the Galway girls, Kerry girls, who we'd have huge rivalry with. So, yeah, that was a bit of a strange one, all right. But I think at the end of the day, you can just appreciate, you know, that people gave everything on the pitch and it just was, I suppose, that competitive edge that we had. So, yeah, I think the ones that stood out were definitely the girls I played against at intercounty level.
You were only 17 when you joined the panel, so it's such a big part of your life, such formative years where you're dedicating all of your weekends, probably 3-4 nights a week, to just thinking about how you can better yourself, how you can ultimately better the team. Is it hard to get your head around the amount of free time you're suddenly going to have, free headspace you're going to have?
Yeah, it's funny, a lot of people aren't about the free time. I don't know what in the name of God I'm doing, but I don't seem to have a whole pile of it. I think going back club training has filled that gap for me big time. Just to have a structure to your week, you know, because that was a big thing with Cork. You got your schedule at the start of the month. You knew exactly, you know, gym Monday, pitch Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, you know, a few training camps and stuff put in there, weekends away. So club football is filling that gap, to be honest. I'm very fortunate to go back to a club who's competing at a high level. So I'm fortunate that way. But yeah, it is nice, I suppose, to be able to pre-plan holidays and stuff, and it's not last minute. And Ryanair and Aer Lingus flights are through the roof. You know, it's nice to be able to pre-plan and have that weekends to look forward to.
Why now? Why? What happened this winter that you decided this was the time to go?
Yeah, I suppose there was no standout moment for me, to be honest. It wasn't. I woke up one day and was like, yeah, that's it. I think it was more a gradual thing. And if I'm honest, as you said, I suppose I've been playing. Pre-season started when I was 16 years old. I'm 29 now, so, you know, it takes its toll on the body. I ran into a few injuries, I suppose, in the last couple of years, and I'd have the guilt about not being able to be on the pitch all the time with the girls. You see what people put into it to play at that level, and I felt I couldn't do that anymore. Be on the pitch 3 nights a week at that level. That standard. So yeah, I felt it was time. I think my body made the decision for me, I suppose, in the end.
How are the knees?
Grand, yeah, touch wood. No, like I still at club level won't be ever back training 3 nights a week.
Right.
I've had 5 keyholes on one knee and 2 on the other knee. So there's just not a whole pile of cartilage left. So it's actually more like a dull pain. It's never like, oh, really sharp, if that makes sense. It's just more dull pain that's kind of there all the time.
And when you look back on those injuries and the various different knee injuries you've had, and you know, could you have done anything different at the time? Like we hear quite a bit about, particularly around ladies football and camogie, about the difficulties when it comes to treatment. You know, obviously you're probably back at work, so you're not having the correct recovery time after matches. When you've been sitting down over the past few weeks and thinking, do you look back and go, geez, if I could have done that differently, if I had more time here, maybe things I could have get another 3 or 4 years out of my career?
Yeah, that's a tricky one, I suppose. When I think back to when I started with the Cork Seniors, I was playing club minor football, club under 21 football, club senior football. I was playing intercounty minor, intercounty senior. I was playing basketball with Mallow and with the school. I was playing, say, rugby at the time. And I'm not sure. Yeah, I think I was still doing gymnastics as well. So in hindsight, I was probably doing too much at that age. I remember getting called into the vice principal's office in fifth year being like, you're going to have to, you're never in school, basically. So something's going to have to give here. So maybe I should have listened to the vice principal at the time. Looking back, that has crossed my mind that I probably was doing too much when I was 16, 17, around that time, and probably paid for it in the later years then.
It sounds like, though, it's a no regrets that actually 16, 17, you were loving it.
Oh, absolutely. I kind of nearly don't like saying that because I absolutely loved it. Like, was obsessed with it. I like would leave school and dad would collect me. We'd go straight up to Cork. And I was genuinely in awe. Like, I just couldn't believe that I was there. And the first training session, I was kicking, doing a kicking competition. Eamon Ryan had us, and it was myself and Valerie Mulcahy. And I was just like, oh my God, this is a pinch yourself moment. And then we went into these drills, and it was you to box your partner for a minute. And I had no friends at the time. It was my first year. So I ended up with Breach Corkery, and I was like, oh, job, you know, she'll surely take it handy on me. My first night, I was in the shower that night and I had bruises genuinely all down my arms. I sat into the car. Dad was like, what's wrong? I was bawling. I was just like, oh, I'm not ready for this. But like, when I look back, it was unbelievable. It was class. It was like being with all the celebrities and just you're a new one. So yeah, absolutely no regrets that way. Like, I loved it. Yeah.
You say you had no friends, but your sister Kira, was she there at that stage?
Yeah, Roisin and Kira were in the dressing room. But I remember
you had no friends.
Yeah. I remember being so nervous that, like, even, you know, if they went to go to the toilet or went to get physio, I was up the walls. But I remember, like, the first league game, I think we were getting on the bus, and it was Juliet Murphy goes, oh, you'll be fine. And I was like, is she talking to me? I like, Joe, that kind of way. I was just like, oh, it was nearly borderline pathetic when I look back about how much, like, I just admired all those girls. But to be fair, yeah, Roisin and Kira were on the panel, so that definitely made it easier. And then there was a couple of girls who I would have known from underage. They, Roisin Phelan, Shauna Kelly, they joined around that time as well. So, and like, you wouldn't be long making friends, but I do remember the first couple of sessions, I was a bundle of nerves, yeah.
Your skill set, I was reading James Masters talking about how talented a kicker you were, that your skill set was different from Kira's. You were one of the best in the country, extremely natural from freeze, from play. Where did that skill set come from?
I'll have to give Dad credit for that, to be fair. Left and right leg, we used to have competitions out the back. We had this, it wasn't a full length pitch at all, like, but a little, it was bigger than a garden, say, if there was a goal that he had made himself at either side of the pitch. And we'd go out there genuinely every evening, left and right leg, crossbar challenge, over the bar, which meant you were in over the ditch trying to find the ball. But yeah, that was Dad, to be fair. Like, I remember we'd be inside the kitchen and we'd be lashing the ball at each other left and right, punt kick, hook kick, and until something broke and Mam roared in. Like, that was it. It was very, I suppose, straightforward. There was nothing fancy. It was just practice. And then when you have three sisters who you want to beat as well, that probably made you practice that bit more.
It must be such a proud thing for your parents, for the two of you to do it together, to bow out on at the same time, because I think Ciara announced her retirement. I presume that was planned. What if he wasn't trying to steal the other one's thunder, was it?
That was absolutely not planned.
What?
But I absolutely stole Ciara's thunder there.
Oh, no.
So Ciara, I think Rory Noonan asked Ciara about her retirement, and then he said something in the article about Ciara saying, and Darren hasn't made up her mind. And I, at that stage, like, the girls are well into the league, championships are on the corner. I just kind of not wanted to get it over with, but, you know, I don't, like, it was still, say, up in the air and it wasn't confirmed. And, like, I had my mind well made up. So I just text Rory and it goes, oh, no. I was like, I do have my decision made. And then he tweeted at that stage, and I literally replied 2 minutes later saying, but will you not say anything today? Let Ciara have her moment. And he was like, Darren, it's gone. And I was like, grand. But I text Ciara at the time and I did apologize. I was like, look, this is the way it's gone. And she was like, oh no, I think it's nicer that we do it together. So I was grand once, wasn't in the doghouse when she was okay with it. But yeah, no, not planned at all.
Right. It was so interesting listening to you talk about going into that dressing room, one of the great dressing rooms, that Cork ladies team at the time, who were just so, so dominant. And I guess while there's that initial imposter syndrome that you go through, quickly you got to settle down to the work, and you want to feel a part of this, and you want to be able to go and achieve. Who were the leaders? Who were the people in those early months and years that maybe would have made a little bit of time for you to make sure that you made that transition a little bit easier?
Yeah, I think one that stands out there straight away was Breege Corkery. Just in terms of making you feel part of the team, whether it was asking as simple as, are they new boots? Like, genuinely, it was just those small conversation starters that, you know, you thought, oh God, I'm actually not invisible. I'm here, I'm on the panel. And I think once that awe and kind of admiration and stuff settled in, as you said, it is down to the hard work there. Like, there was times, I remember we were doing a possession drill one day and Justin McCarthy called me over after and he goes, are you trying to get a suntan or are trying to get a starting position? And the penny didn't drop with me till a couple of minutes later. I was like, oh, he's on about the fact that I'm kind of standing around or whatever and trying to get a 10. And like, it was like that. It was kind of those subtle things that you're being watched. And like, I had come from a minor team where the forward's job was to score and that was it. A club team where if I got the ball, it was trying to assist a score or to get a score. So that change in mindset the first year was absolutely mad. Like, I now realized, oh God, when the other team have the ball, I actually have to work. I need to try get the team or the ball back, or, you know, this thing of blocking. I'd never blocked a ball in my life. I was terrified. And next thing, Eamon Ryan had us down in pairs and they were lashing the ball at you. It wasn't like, you know, tick a box here. So yeah, I learned so much that first year in particular. It definitely changed the mindset that, you know, and the way the game has gone since is that the 15 players are backs and the 15 players are forwards. But that was my first introduction to it. And I think Eamon Ryan was ahead of his time that way.
What a dressing room to learn in. Like, there were to be that age, there's few people who get that opportunity. Maybe the young Dublin footballers who are going into that dressing room now, where there's that level of achievement and those amount of medals, when you're looking around and you're seeing Breege Corkery and Rena Buckley and Angela Walsh and Valerie Mulcahy and like the greatest players to have ever played the game, and to see how they did it and what they've learned and how they act and how they behave and how they prepare for matches, like, you couldn't have asked for better.
No, when I look back, it was absolutely insane. Like, but those girls, you know, brought Cork football from absolutely nothing. Like, you know, it wasn't like they went into a winning dressing room. They created that winning dressing room and that culture themselves. So I think as well that there was a lot of learnings in off the pitch, the way they carry themselves in terms of, you know, small stuff like cleaning out the dressing room, being out in the pitch 15 minutes before management, you know, staying after training, calling players out if things weren't going well or you felt people weren't putting the shoulder to the wheel. Like, there was massive honesty in that dressing room. But I do think I learned a lot from, I'd say, off the pitch as well, you know, leadership from them, time management, organisation, dedication, that I'd like to think, you know, helps outside of life or outside of football as well.
Of the All-Irelands, of the wins, what's the one that stands out?
My first one, to be honest. Yeah, that is the one in 2012 that stands out for me. Myself, Roisin and Ciara were on the panel that year, so that was nice. And then I remember I hadn't started all year. I'd been playing with the Cork Minors, so I was training one night a week, say, with the seniors, and I wasn't good enough. And then the All-Ireland semi-final, Eamon Eustall has called the team out, say, the night before championship. So we were in the Mardyke and he called my name, and I genuinely know it has I've never been more caught off in my life. I'll never forget it. I start, like, we're doing the cool down. So I put my head down and literally was crying, because I was just like, I'm not ready for this at all. All-Ireland semi-final. I think we played Monaghan that year in the semi-final, and I cried the whole way home, being like, what in the name of God are they doing? Starting me centre forward. And then for the final, I kept my position. And I remember turning to Ciara in Croke Park on the pitch, warming up, being like, I'm going to be the first person to get sick in Croke Park. Like, I actually thought I was going to vomit. I was just so nervous.
Wow.
But yeah, that match went okay. I played grand.
You kicked four points.
Yeah,
it was better than okay.
Yeah, it went fine, and yeah, we won, so that one stood out for me. And just the feeling after, I remember him and Ryan used to always say we'd be millionaires if we could bottle the feeling after that final whistle goes. It's hard to replicate that initial, you know, just pure relief and joy. So yeah, that's the standout for me.
You're the first modest Cork person we've ever had in the show. 2016 must have been a special one as well, the last one, but also Ciara's the captain for you and for the family.
Yeah, I'm probably going to get in trouble now in hindsight. I probably should have said that one.
Go for the personal glory.
I scored 4 points in the first one. Yeah, we'll have to, yeah, look, that one was very special. Coming back to Mourne Abbey and having your sister as captain was insane, to be honest. I remember all the girls signed their names in the local pub, Derry's, down below. It's only recently got painted, but I remember Annie Walsh, Breed Stack, Breed Corkery, all their names, D. Riley, all their names are on the roof at the pub at home. So that was a special one to bring the cup back. And there was fireworks, bonfires, the whole lot, and Mam woke up the next day and she looked out the window. So all the girls, it's kind of tradition, you go back to the winning captain's club or whatever. So we went back to Mourne Abbey. Mam woke up the next morning and Brendan Martin was outside on the roof of a car. So I don't know what that cup is worth, like 70-80 grand. So she had a heart attack, ran out. So yeah, that was a lucky escape. But yeah, those are definitely special moments, yeah. And one that stands out.
Like, you obviously know Dublin are coming at that stage. You've played them in 3 All-Ireland finals in a row, but having won 10 of 11, I'm sure nobody at that stage thinks, well, this is the last time this is going to happen for a lot of us, that we win an All-Ireland medal. There's such a level of expectation. What's gone wrong, I guess? What's happened that it's been that struggle over the last 7-8 years that Meath, that Dublin have been able to come along?
Yeah, I suppose there was 2 or 3 teams competing at that level, say go back 10 years ago. Whereas now the gap is so close between all the teams. So like, say, for example, the year Meath won, we lost to Meath in the semi-final after extra time. And then they went on to beat, I think, Dublin in the final only by a couple of points. So you're thinking, you know, that could have been, like, that's how close it is. And then I suppose Dublin had their period, Meath took over. But now there's no easy games. And I think that's a huge reflection of where ladies football is at. You know, there's never any easy match, any group game you play is going to be a tough game. So I think it's a good reflection of ladies football and the progress we've made.
Dearan, it's been brilliant to talk to you. Thanks a lot for hopping on this evening. Congrats on a brilliant career. And best of luck with the club. I know Moran Albi, I'm sure you've got big, big ambitions over the coming season as well. I'm sure we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.